becoming my favorite part of Gather every week when we have it, is when one of our leaders or one of y'all get to share your story of grace, and that was awesome just to hear that. Hey, well, I want to start tonight. I'm really excited about what the Lord has me sharing with you guys tonight. And so I want to start with this idea. I don't know how many of you guys struggle with getting a good night's sleep, okay? You're at that point now. A lot of us, as we get older, it is not getting easier. Does anybody else agree with that? Okay? Man, it's rough. Can you remember when you were young and you might sleep over at a friend's and you would sleep on the floor and you just go right to sleep, get a good night's sleep, you wake up. Now, if I lay on the floor in any way, the only thing that falls asleep is the whole side of my body. Kind of, and I'm like, I got to get over here because this has been like 3 minutes. And it's crazy how things are changing. My wife and I have so many pillows on our bed. I think we think if we could have like 8 to 10 pillows, things are going to be better. They're not, okay? If you've bought the MyPillow, good luck with that. I hope it worked for you. Some of you are like, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Okay, I know that. I've heard that before. Getting a good night's sleep. The other thing I'm noticing is that me and Tums are becoming really like heartburn at night. I'm like, I need like an industrial-sized bottle of Tums near my bed, it feels like now. And so it's one of those deals where you go, golly, why can't I sleep now? I'm just getting older. And I got to admit, you guys are going to get to know me a lot better tonight because I also have trouble sleeping because I tend to talk in my sleep, and I also tend to walk in my sleep, okay? Anybody else want to admit that tonight? Okay, there's like, just me. So I'm going to tell you a few stories about when this happened. It really is true. I used to work at a camp called Kids Across America, and when I was at camp, one night, it was with inner city kids, and I remember I was having this dream that there were kids stuck in the rocks. And I was like, I got to get down there and help them. And so there was a 6'9" friend of mine, 6'9", I'm 6'6", we're both big boys, and his name was Stefan, and Stefan was in bed, and I went over to his bed walking in my sleep, and I started pulling on his bed like this, asleep. And that's not a good way to wake up for somebody. You know, he came up out of he used to sleep under his blanket. He came up, he goes, what are you doing, Brian? You're freaking me out, man. And I remember kind of waking up. I'm kind of going, okay, good night, Steph. And I went back to bed. Another true story. This one's even worse. Angie and I lived in Conway, Arkansas. And one night I was dreaming. I don't know what I was dreaming, but this is what she told me happened. I was crawling around in bed looking for something. Like everybody does. And so 6'6" guy looking around, and Angie goes, Bron, what are you doing? I said, shh, shh, there's dog poop in the bed. True story. Okay, so I don't know if there's some spiritual meaning there that God's going to reveal to me, but I don't think so. So that was a true story. And then there was another time when my wife, I got to tell a few things about my wife here too, she tends to have nightmares. Does anybody have nightmares at night sometimes? Okay, so if we watch anything that has anything suspenseful, if there's snakes, spiders, we're toast, okay? So when we're watching, so we'll be in the middle of watching, so I go, oh, man, this is going to be a long night for you if we keep watching. You know, so anything that's scary. So one night, she'll start, she'll go, oh, my gosh, and then she just screams as loud as she can. And so the good husband that I am, I reached out and I said, babe, it's okay. And I reached around. Well, I think she thought someone was attacking her in her dream. And so she went with the right, hit me right in the nose. I flipped the light. I said, I think you might have just broke my nose. So there's some rough night sleep for me, okay? And that's just a few of them. We don't have time to keep talking, but there's more. And here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want you to remember tonight. I think as much as we struggle for physically getting good night's rest, I think our even greater challenge, and as I think about us heading into 2019, is finding rest for our souls. That we would come to a place of rest no matter what the circumstances. And I think that's what the Lord wants for us. And here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want you to remember over and over, that outside of the presence of the Lord, there is no rest. Let that sink in with you. Outside of his presence, we're going to look for rest in everything else. But the reality is the Lord has set it up that his presence will give us rest. And so whatever your circumstances are right now, as you come into 2019, if you're like me, I want to figure a lot of things out. We're in the middle of trying to sell our house right now. And we're just going to move somewhere close. We're not going anywhere. But it is amazing how at unrest, because I want to know what's going to happen. And it's something I go, it doesn't really matter. The Lord's with us. We love our house. It's fine. It's just something we're trying to do. And I'm amazed at how it can take me to a place of unrest. And so we're going to look at a passage tonight that I hope is going to encourage you. Exodus 33. And this is one of my favorite passages. Some of you all that went on the Oasis retreat, you're going to know this is a message I shared there. But I'm so encouraged by this passage. I want to tell you what was going on here. In Exodus 33, Moses, it talks about him going and having this tent of meeting. It was a place outside the camp that he would walk to. He would leave the camp, and everybody, when Moses would go out, they would turn towards him. He'd go into this tent where he would meet with the Lord. And the first thing I want you to think about as we're talking about this tonight is, how are you doing with your tent of meeting? Because if it's true that the only place we find rest is in the presence of the Lord, are you looking to go find time with him and spend time with him? And I love what the scripture says here. Listen to what it says in 33:11. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." That's a whole nother message. Joshua, as you guys know, took over for Moses, and God was preparing him. But in verse 12, it says, "Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you do not let me know who you'll send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you've also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I might know you. In order to find favor in your sight, consider too that this nation is your people.' And he said," listen to what he says to him, I love this. "And he said to him, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" And in verse 15, he says, "And he said to him, 'If your presence bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in you going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Man, when I read that, I want you to understand, some of you guys, I want you to understand what's going on with Moses here. In chapter 32, right before here, you might go, "Well, Moses found rest because he was spending time with the Lord, and he was Moses, and God was working through him." But Moses had just gone through a really hard time. And what had happened in 32, you guys know the story. The Israelites are coming out of Egypt. Moses leads them, right? God is parting seas. There's a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He's providing for them. But these people begin to groan and grumble. And what happens in Exodus 32 is Moses goes up to the mountain. He's getting the law from the Lord. And he's gone for a short time. And what happens? The people go, "Man, is he coming back? I don't know if he's going to come back. Maybe we should take matters into our own hands. In fact, Aaron, we're going to give you all our gold. And will you make some kind of calf for us to worship? And we'll make our own God and we'll start worshiping it." Isn't that amazing? Think about this. So here comes Moses, faithfully going to do what God's called him to do. He's up there on the mount. He comes back, and his right-hand man, Aaron, is going, "I don't know what happened, man. The people wanted this deal, and I threw some stuff in the fire, and it came out a calf," which wasn't true. Okay? What happened was Aaron lied. Aaron gave into the will of the people. The people wanted to do what they wanted, and he makes this calf. And this is Moses' right-hand man. And so he's in a tough spot. He's not in a restful, peaceful place here. And so what I think Moses knows here is he goes, "Man, Lord, I'm going to face all kinds of challenges, and I've got to go spend time with you. I've got to have this tent of meeting. I've got to go keep surrendering myself to you and being in your presence, because I know that's the only place that I'm going to find rest." So here's what I would tell you. You guys might be in a situation right now where you go, "Man, this has been a hard week. Bron, if you knew what I'm going through, if you knew about my doctor's visit this week that was really hard, and I found out some tough stuff, Ron, if you knew about my job and if you knew what I was going through there, if you knew how stressful it was, if you knew, there's no way I can find rest because my job is killing me. There's no way. If you knew the circumstances I'm in with my job, Ron, I'm in between jobs. Hey, Ron, if you knew, I'm in a relationship that's broken up and we're no longer together and I'm in the same place I've been a lot of times. And if you knew my circumstances, you'd go, and I don't think you'd be telling me that I can find rest in the presence of the Lord. Ron, I've got to watch the Patriots again in the Super Bowl. And no one wants that. Okay, no one wants that. And so whatever the situation is for you, I here's what I want to tell you. Is that the first thing I want you to hear really clearly is this, that the rest is in the who and not in the what. Okay? It is in the who, it's not in the what. That's where you find rest. And if you are waiting for the Lord to answer all your questions, that's what was going on with Moses here. In verse 12, what he's saying is, he's going, hey, you haven't told me how this is all going to go down. You haven't told me who you're going to send with me. You haven't told me. And I love how the Lord doesn't, he doesn't say, well, it's going to go like this. You're going to go over here and this is what's going to happen. He says, no, he goes, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And so here's what I'll tell you. If you had all the answers to this, whatever the circumstance is right now that you're really weighed down by, if you had all the answers, guess what? Another one's coming next week. And you won't know the answer. And what you'll have to do is go, Lord, I give it to you. I want to be in your presence because I know that's the only place. My circumstances, the what, is always going to change. But you never change. You're faithful, even when we're faithless. For you cannot deny yourself, the word says. So it's not about the what, it's about the who. When we were preparing for this, KJ and I were talking, and I don't, you know, if you've met KJ, he's one of our fellows. And KJ said, you know, there was this playground when I grew up. He goes, we would go there, and it was in our neighborhood, and it was a great place, but we lived in a very poor neighborhood, and the only place you could really have fun was this playground. And he said, I used to go to this playground, and when I would go, he said there were some neighborhood bullies there, and they'd pick on me. And he goes, but it was the only place you kind of fun, so I kept going back, and they might beat me up, or I was scared, I was fearful. And he goes, and then one day I went to that playground, and he said I was there, and it was the only day I had no fear. The same bullies were there, I had no fear. And he said, the reason I didn't is because my dad was with me. The who was with me. My dad was with me. And he goes, you know, when you're a kid, my dad could beat up your dad, he's Superman, you know, that kind of thing. And so KJ said, man, it just took away that fear. And what I would tell you is if we can begin to say, Lord, it's really not about what's coming. It's about me walking with you and knowing you. That's the place that I can find rest because there's no rest outside the presence of the Lord. Second thing I want you to hear is this idea that it's presence or bust. You guys remember, I remember when I was in high school, people would go on spring break and they would write on their windshields, Florida or bust. They'd write that on the back or whatever, California or bust, you know. And my parents were like, you aren't going anywhere. If we don't have any money, you can go to Garland. That's where you can go or bust. And if you're from Garland, I'm sorry I said that, okay? That's about as far as I would go. But I lived in Oklahoma. My parents would be like, we're not going anywhere. And what I want you to hear on that is this idea that what Moses got here, okay, look what Moses says after the Lord says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. In verse 15, he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, then don't bring us up from here. Y'all see what Moses got there? He's going, Lord, if you don't go, if you're not with us, we're in trouble. And I want you to think about it this way. Think about something that you've left the house, okay, and you were miles away from your house and you went, oh no, I forgot blank. I got to turn around. I got to go back and get it. And most of us, some of you are thinking keys. You wouldn't be keys because you drove. Okay, that's not one of them. But it would be your wallet or your phone, okay? So I was thinking about the phone and how when I, you know, remember the time when there wasn't cell phones? And remember when there was a thing called busy signals, okay? You would call people, and it would be like, dun, 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 and you didn't get to talk to them, okay? There was a time when that was popular. There was a time when you would be driving and you would pull over and you'd pull out something called a map, okay? And you'd unfold it and you never could get it back. And you just kind of throw it in the back of the seat because, you know, fold. And it was a map, and you'd look at a map, and then you wouldn't be able to figure out. If you're like me, you go, I don't have no idea what that map's saying. And so then you would pull over at what's called a gas station, okay? And you would go inside, and you'd say to the person, you'd say, hey, I think I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to this such and such place? And you would do that, and then that person at the gas station, oh, yeah. You go down here, you take two rights, take a left, go spin around there, you go to the circle, and you go there into that bush, and you take a right, and you got it. And I'll go, okay, cool. And you'd walk out, and then you'd go into your car, and you'd go, he said something about some rights and a couple of lefts. I think I got it. You'd drive, and then you'd end up at what would be called a second gas station. Y'all remember that? You remember that? I totally remember that. Because you were more lost than when you started. And so what happens today is with phones is if we don't have service, we're like, I might be out of the country. I might not even be in the United States anymore. I don't have service, you know? And we get so scared because we're so dependent on our phone. I have a buddy that put a box out at Christmas when he had extended family. We say, hey, just put your phones in the boxes. And he's in the box or whatever. He said people would come in and they'd look at me. He's like, yeah, go ahead, put your phone in the box. You're like, I put my phone in the box, man. You know, it's like it was an offensive thing to ask them to put their box. And he had a teenage niece that was like, you want me to put my phone up? You know, she's like so bothered by that. And so what I want you to think about, what if that's the way we saw our relationship with the Lord, if we said, I cannot go without it. Isn't it amazing how we're attached to things that give us some kind of security of, hey, if we get lost, got a phone. If we need to talk to someone, we've got a phone. And the Lord's going, hey, if you knew how good I am, if you knew what it's like to be find rest in my presence, you'd never leave without me. You'd turn around and go, I got to go spend some time with the Lord. I need some tent of meeting time. And the problem is that so many things have taken its place. And we're depending on those things, and it's leaving us wanting. And God is merciful to leave us wanting with the things of this world. He is. I was thinking about this presence idea. My wife's mom went to be with the Lord this last fall. And she was in Yukon, Oklahoma, where I grew up. And she was at her mom's house. Her mom was getting ready to pass. And she was at her house and she was looking in her office, and on her desk was this calendar that was a devotional calendar. And on the calendar it said, and she just goes, I want to look at what today says. And today it said, hey, the Lord knows the number of your days. And you may think that it'd be better to stay, but he knows better because it's better to be with the Lord. That was the word that day as the Lord was getting ready to take her mom home. And we were so comforted by that. We were like, Lord, just a little encouragement from your presence there with my wife. And she got to encourage her family with, hey, this is what was today's message. If mom would have been there, she'd have seen that. And so when the Lord is, when we've got to get to a place, people, where we go in 2019, I hope this is where you go, Lord, if you don't go with me, here's the way I kind of think of every day. Lord, if you don't show up, there's nothing good coming from me, okay? Because Psalm 16 says, apart from you, I have no good thing. So it's presence or bust. And the third thing is that his presence distinguishes us. Okay, look what happens in verse 16 here, where it says, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people in the face of the earth? I think the Lord wants to distinguish us so that our lives look different than the world around us. We're called to be aliens and strangers, as 1 Peter 2 talks about. And so others would see Christ in us and want to know him. And that's not going to happen if we're not in the presence of the Lord. We're not going to find rest there, and our lives are not going to be distinct, because in of ourselves, what do we really have to offer? But with Christ, we have everything to give away. When I took the role here as the leader of single adults, when as I prayed through that, I felt like the Lord was really leading me to this place. And I remember sitting with my boys, and I was sitting with them, and I said, hey, guys, I know for the last 18 years your dad's been student ministry guy at Watermark, but I feel like the Lord is calling me to lead a new area. And I remember my boys were like, my boys are 18 and younger, so they've never known anything but that. And they were sitting there, and one was tearing up, and one was like, I got a question, Dad. Does that mean leaders will be coming out? You know, kind of just one technical stuff. And I remember sitting there with them, and I said, here's what I want to tell you. No matter what happens, whether this goes great or doesn't go well, if the Lord is leading, it's going to be good because he does what he's going to do. And success is not about an outcome. It's about me being obedient to what he's calling me to do. And I wanted them to hear that because the Lord doesn't always lead us into things that are necessarily better. He leads us into a place, what I hope is true, is he leads us into a place where we have more of him. That's what I wanted. I always want that. I always go, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to fall more in love with the Savior. And so if this is one way you're going to do that in my life, what a gift to me to get to do something else. So his presence should distinguish us. There's a guy on staff at Watermark named Jeff Ward, a friend of mine, and he told me a story about a guy from Iran that he got to meet in Turkey. They were at this conference where they were training people for ministry, and he said, I've got to tell you this guy's story. And basically the story went like this. This guy was a Muslim. He was working for the police or the militia in Iran, and he was doing that. He was a fearful man. He was suicidal. And he turned to God. One day his prayer was, God, would you show yourself to me? And soon after that, someone that close to him gave him a New Testament in Farsi, and then he saw the Jesus film, and he put his trust in Christ. And all of a sudden, this guy comes to Christ, puts his trust in the Lord, and he starts to tell others about Jesus, because that's what you do. When you come to Christ, man, that's what all of us should do. If we know the Savior, we should want others to know him. And so he begins to share his faith. And in Iran, that was not a real popular thing. And what happened was he was thrown in jail for doing that. And the Lord began to work out his story. When he went to jail, the prisoners were allowed one book. They said, you can have one book. And he said, well, guess what book you wanted? I want a Bible. And so here's listen to what the prison warden said. The prison warden said to him, that if he gives him a Bible, that he and himself and his top officers would have to read it themselves first. So listen to what happened. So listen to what happened. They read it and called him in and asked him to explain certain passages to him. Isn't that amazing? Here he is being faithful, sharing what God's done. And all of a sudden, God begins to make him distinguished, even in the jail. Listen to what happened. The warden then gave him the New Testament, asked him not to evangelize other prisoners. And so he asked the warden, when someone asks you about your faith, you answer the question, correct? The warden said, yes. And he said, well, I should be able to answer questions about my faith in Jesus. The warden agreed. Okay, the Lord's working out his plan. And then he said, by the way, can you please tell all the prisoners that I'm a Christian so they won't ask me? Remarkably, the warden agreed and informed the entire prison that this man believed in Jesus. The forbidden fruit principle kicked in, and he led many prisoners to the Lord and circulated his New Testament to many other prisoners. After 6 months, he was released on bail, and several months later, his mother died, who he was caring for. He then received a letter requesting him to return to jail to serve a 3-year sentence. The crime was jeopardizing national security via evangelism. He escaped to Turkey, and this is where Jeff met him. And he said, when I asked him whether he intended to seek asylum and move somewhere safe or even to the United States, he looked at me bewildered. He grabbed my shoulder. He looked me in the eyes and said, Brother Jeff, he said, we believe in two blessings, the blessings of salvation and the blessing of suffering. No, I will return to Iran and I will lead the church there. Isn't that amazing? You don't make those kind of decisions unless you are in the presence of the Lord and his Spirit is empowering you to do that. And you go, I'm going to be faithful. So you might be going, Bron, great story. If I'm over in Iran or I'm in a foreign country and I get put in jail, that's what I'm going to do. But I would tell you, whatever you are in right now, whatever circumstance, if you're in a job right now, I think whatever that job is, you have a chance to be distinguished and be someone who reflects Christ to others. If you are in a friendship, think about that job. Let me stop there for just 1 minute. If you're there and it's a stressful job and everybody else is kind of, you know, wigged out and you're this calm in the middle of that because of the presence of the Lord in your life, maybe some of the fruit of that labor, maybe you're the person that others look at and they go, man, I don't see you getting caught up in all the world stuff. I don't see you letting possessions kind of own you, and you don't seem to care that much about the world stuff. Wouldn't that distinguish you among the people? Because the presence of the Lord is going, hey, this is the place you find rest. Stuff you buy, stuff you get, stuff you wear, stuff you drive, that's never going to really bring rest or satisfy you. I was thinking about the way that you, maybe you're a friend to others. Maybe they see you sacrifice your time. Maybe they see you interested in what's going on in other people's lives. They see you praying for them. They're encouraged by the way you give life to them and you give your life away. It's distinguished. And here's what I'd tell you. The presence of the Lord is the only thing that will distinguish us among the people so that we would say, hey, I want my life to point to Jesus. He must increase and I must decrease. So I want to close with this thought. Man, if you, wherever you are right now, whatever the what is for you right now, the first thing I want to remind you of, the only place where there is rest is in the presence of the Lord. Will you seek him today? Well, tomorrow, will you get up and go, Lord, I want to seek your face again. And I want to remind you that you need to have the mindset, and this comes from, man, pray the Lord would give you a mindset of, Lord, if you don't show up, it's your way, if you're, it's presence or bust. I don't want to leave the house without you. I don't want to do anything without you. I'm going to figure out how I can get more time with you so that your presence brings real rest to me. And then third, we just talked about that he might distinguish you wherever you are, in your job, in your friendships, in your community, in your neighborhood, here at Watermark, in your church, whatever it is, that he might do that, not for your glory, but for his, so that others might see Jesus and say, I want to know him. I was thinking about Blake tonight. Blake shared his testimony. I was so encouraged by that. I think Blake, and he wouldn't hate that I'm saying this in some ways, I think Blake's a guy who, and I think about a distinguished life, I think his life is distinguished. When I look at him, I see the joy of the Lord. And when I'm hanging with him, I do hear him pointing to Jesus. And I see that in a lot of you. And I hope what your prayer is, if that is what's going on in your life, that you'd say, more of you, Lord. I want more of you, less of me. And that this would be a place when others come, that we would be, it would be contagious faith, that it would be a distinguished faith. It would be alien and stranger, like, why do you have such joy? Because I've been in the presence of the Lord. He has set me free. He has made me new. He has brought me from death to life. And I can't believe I get to know him and I get to be with him. So here's what I want to do to wrap up tonight. There may be some what's right now in your life that are really weighing you down. And as you're looking out at this year, you're discouraged. You're wondering what the answer is. You're going, Lord, I just need to know this, this, and this, and I'll be all good. But here's the thing. Next week, you'll want to know this, this, and this more. And so the Lord's going, will you, whatever that is, maybe just symbolically for you as you spend time listening to the song and just praying, whatever that is, that you would just kind of let that go and say, Lord, would you take it? Because here's what I want more than anything. I want to know you, and I want to find rest in my relationship with you. Not in my circumstance, not in the what, but in the who. And so maybe you need to confess to the Lord. Lord, I mean, I've been trying to figure it all on my own. I've been trying to find rest for myself in all kinds of things besides you. And I just need to ask your forgiveness and say, Lord, once again, would you remind me that the only place that I can find rest is in your presence. And then the last prayer might be, Lord, would you distinguish me among your people so that others might be drawn to Jesus because of the way you're working in my life? And so we're going to play a song. I want you to take just a moment. It's just for you and the Lord. And then right after that song, I'll pray us out and we'll wrap up. So let's listen to that song.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Runs deep, your grace is more. What grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. And holiness is Christ in me.
You're our one defense. We need you. There's no other place to go. There's no other place that we can find real rest for our souls but in you. And so I pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for each person here. Pray for myself that you'd remind us that in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is rest for our souls. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. And so I pray for anybody in here who doesn't know you, who wouldn't know your presence because they've never put their trust, they don't have a relationship with you, Lord, would you give them the courage to come talk to some of us up front tonight or talk to a friend here that could share the good news of Christ with them? And Lord, if we do know you, would tomorrow morning, would you remind us we need tent of meeting time. We need to find rest in you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you took him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf that we might have the righteousness of God. We're so grateful, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray.